Do women owe anything to Hillary Clinton because of her gender? This week, two icons of female accomplishment weighed in. One was Madeleine Albright.
You have to help. Hillary Clinton will always be there for you. And just remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Let's begin with that comment. We have Jess Speer with us with the Socialist Alternative Party. Hi, Jess.
Hey, how's it going?
It's fine. Thank you. You're supporting Bernie Sanders. Is there a special place in hell for you?
I think if I've got to be put in hell for supporting a candidate that's putting forward a pro-women, pro-worker, pro-environment agenda with a message telling people that if you stand up and you fight back, you can win this agenda, then I think I'm going to be in good company.
Put some headphones on there because we're going to broaden this discussion. Also with us, Hillary Clinton supporter and Seattle writer Erica C. Barnett of the CisForCrank.com. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Bill.
What obligation do women have to elect a woman president?
Well, I think you're sort of asking the wrong question. I don't think we have an obligation to elect a woman president, and I'm not supporting Hillary solely because she's a woman. What I think the secretary's comment, which I think is an unfortunate comment, gets to, though, is that, you know, that there is a glass ceiling in this country, and the presidency is the highest and hardest glass ceiling there is. And, you know, the symbolism of having a woman in that office is greater than just symbolism. It's, you know, it's like saying that Barack Obama being the first black president was just symbolism. If we elect a woman president, there's going to be a new focus on gender-based problems that aren't encompassed by Bernie Sanders' class-based analysis.
Jess, response?
But we didn't see that when Barack Obama was elected and the agenda that he fought for. You didn't see an emphasis on race issues. You saw a decimation of wealth for black working class families. And I think the question of whether a feminist should support Bernie Sanders or support Hillary Clinton should really just be predicated on fighting for the goals of feminism, which is equality for women, and I'd also add gender nonconforming people as the feminist movement creates the space to challenge gender norms. You know, equality in politics, of course, but equality in jobs and wages. And I think we have to ask ourselves what campaign advances that. You have a campaign with Bernie Sanders saying he supports a $15 minimum wage. Hillary Clinton supports $12 minimum wage. Two-thirds of low-wage workers are women. Are they going to be helped by a $15 minimum wage over a $12 minimum wage? I think absolutely it's a no-brainer on that question.
Well, I think that looking at things entirely through a class lens, as Bernie does, really leaves aside a lot of issues that he has not brought to the forefront and that Hillary Clinton has. We are in a historic
time. Such as
time, what? Reproductive rights. We're in a historic time for reproductive rights in this country. We have a Supreme Court that could be, you know, is poised to effectively overturn Roe v. Wade. Hillary Clinton has been committed to overturning the Hyde Amendment throughout her campaign. She has put gender issues front and center. And I think that this sort of rising tide lifts all boats, you know, idea that if we raise the minimum wage, if we eliminate income inequality entirely, then that'll fix our gender and, frankly, our racial problems is just wishful thinking.
That's a straw man. I don't think that's what anybody is arguing here. But I think the question of what strategy for the feminist movement is a really good one to have, because the strategy that you're putting forward, which I think is what liberal feminism is all about, is breaking the glass ceiling strategy, where you put women in high places, you break that final glass ceiling, and somehow that'll trickle down and help working class women.
I think what we've seen over the past few decades.
Okay, just a sec. Let's let Erica C. Barnett explain that. Go ahead.
Sure. I'm saying is it's a matter of priorities. It's not somehow it'll magically trickle down. I mean, if you want to talk about magic, the idea that the United States Congress is going to adopt a universal $15 minimum wage, that's magical thinking. But I think we need someone who's a champion, not just somebody who votes the right way. I absolutely agree that Bernie Sanders has a stellar record on women's rights in terms of his voting record. It's a matter of priorities. And the fact is that I don't believe Black Lives Matter would have happened as fast and as effectively as it did if we hadn't had a black president in the White House advocating for seeing issues through a racial lens. And no, he hasn't accomplished everything he set out to accomplish. That is absolutely true. And I don't think Hillary Clinton, I think Hillary Clinton as president will disappoint us in the same ways, because that is the job. That is part of the job. You don't get to make laws as president. And there's just a lot of, there's a lot of magical thinking in the Bernie camp that, you know, that this movement of engaged people will somehow move Congress. And that's not how, that's not how the law works, and it's, you know, it's one reason that Bernie Sanders has not been particularly effective in Congress.
Okay, and pausing again, and we'll have more to say about this. I just want to fill listeners in on the other comment made this week by the longtime feminist Gloria Steinem.
It's kind of not fair to measure most women by the standard of most men, because they're going to get more activist as they grow older, and when you're young, you're thinking, you know, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie.
Sanders supporter Jess Speer, is there any truth to the idea that some young women are into Bernie Sanders for more social or more superficial reasons than older women?
No, and that's highly offensive, which is why you've seen such a backlash from young women with the hashtag not here for the boys. There's a reason why women, young women, overwhelmingly support Bernie Sanders, and it's because of his program, but also because of his message that if you stand up, you get active, you fight for what you need, that's how you can win. That the best president in the world can't do it alone. He needs a movement of millions of people in the streets. And I think this idea that it's magical thinking that we can win this program is, it's a bit funny to me coming from a discussion here in Seattle where we saw the first socialist elected in 100 years, 2 years ago, and all the pundits, all the media was saying, oh, this isn't going to happen. She's got a long shot. And it was the same with the $15 minimum wage. And both of those campaigns were won and fought because we put forward what working people wanted, demanded, and said the only way to win this is by standing up and fighting for what you need and building a movement. And that's how we got it done. And I think that that's what the Bernie Sanders campaign is saying. And it's not making promises it can't achieve. What it's saying is we can only do this if we all stand up together and we fight for it.
Erica C. Barnett, we're having a serious conversation here. Do you agree with Jess Speer that it's a raw deal to be knocking Sanders supporters as being less than serious?
Of course. I mean, I think that Gloria Steinem's comment was asinine.
And let's agree on that.
But I will say, you know, that's just as, you know, if we're going to talk about the Bernie bros, just as those mostly guys who, you know, resort to sexist attacks on Hillary Clinton supporters do not represent the bulk of Bernie Sanders supporters by any means. You know, I wouldn't say that Gloria Steinem's comments represent the bulk of feminists who are not supporting Bernie. I mean, I absolutely disavow that notion. I think millennials are, you know, and young women are more engaged than, you know, than previous generations have been.
That's what I want to get to next. Can we finish there? Because I want to step back even from the presidential election and just get a take from both of you, Jess Speer and Erica C. Barnett, both interested in women in politics in the Seattle area. What is feminism in 2016 in Seattle to you? If you can, you know, give us a nutshell, Jess Speer, and I'll give Erica the last word.
I think it's standing up and uniting with people across movements and saying this is what we need for an equal world. I think the feminist movement is about winning equality for women and, like I said, gender nonconforming people as well. And it's equality in all the spheres, politics, but also jobs, wages, education. And what advances that? You know, the idea that we can just elect a few people and that will advance things for us, again, has seen the erosion of women's rights over the past 40 years. We have to reject that strategy because it's not working and instead move towards a working class feminist strategy that you see embodied in Shama Sawant, our Socialist City Council member.
Erica C. Barnett, what is Seattle feminism in 2016 to you? Do you disagree anywhere?
I don't exactly disagree. I would say, though, that I think feminism, you know, right now for me is seeing the intersections between economic issues and women's, what have traditionally been considered women's issues, like the right to an abortion, like the right to paid family leave, like, you know, like all the things that, like the right to a higher minimum wage, but seeing them as an intersectional issue and not as an issue that's just subsumed under this idea that if we raise income equality, it will raise all boats and that gender-specific issues do not exist. So I think it's for me right now, it's recognizing both of those issues exist and that they intersect and both are important.
Erica C. Barnett of the CisForCrank.com and Jess Speer with the Socialist Alternative Party. Thank you to both of you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.